The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas. That was good. You know, I love traveling and preaching, and I said that I didn't want to start traveling again and preaching in other churches until we started averaging at least 600, and we have far surpassed that, time and time and time again. And so praise the Lord for that. But there's no place like Parkside Baptist Church. And I'll just be honest with you. I believe that God has his hand on this place. I believe God's working here in a marvelous way that is far beyond compare. And I'm excited about what the future holds. We've seen the church double. I think that in the future we'll see it double again and double again, and just helping people and loving people. And I'm excited about all that God is going to do. The subject matter tonight, I don't want you to think I've got my gun cocked and I'm aiming at you, okay? I'm not. If you want to say that this is a shotgun message so that everybody feels the weight of it, then that's what it is. But it's a more of a preventative type of sermons. Sometimes a pastor has to get up and he has to preach corrective messages. Sometimes a pastor has to get up and he preaches strong convicting messages. Sometimes a pastor gets up and he preaches and teaches doctrine, instruction. He does all those things. Tonight's a preventative. Let's look at, as we consider tonight, the dangers and the solutions of having a wrong spirit. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says the spirit, that's talking about man's spirit, it's not capital S Holy Spirit, but it says the spirit of a man, it says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. All right, so here's a person sick in the hospital. Here's a person that is having difficulties about circumstances that they face in life. What's going to sustain that man when all else fails? It's going to be a spirit. It's going to be a spirit. I've seen people I visit in the hospital, they're dying of cancer, but they have a good spirit. I've seen people suffer heart attacks. I visit them in the hospital, but they have a good spirit. I've seen people under adverse situations. I've seen people that have good spirits, though they're in car wrecks. Or they have good spirits, though they have things given to them that rightfully so should not be given to them. But the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Now watch the rest of the verse. But it says a wounded spirit. There it is again. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Again, this is talking about man's spirit. It's not talking about Holy Spirit. So it's not talking about the Holy Spirit will sustain you. What's going to sustain you during adverse times is going to be your spirit. My dad lived in Delaware the latter part of his life, and when right before he died, he lived in Delaware, and my wife and I would go visit him at his home, and as we'd visit Dad at his home, we always enjoyed a good time of fellowship. But one day when we were visiting Dad during the summertime, as we always went to visit Dad in Delaware at his home, he had this dog. It wasn't a mangy dog. It was just an average mutt, but it was a dog that was just hanging out. And he said, Mike, could you get rid of the dog? I said, sure. How do you want me to get rid of the dog? He said, well, he said, just take it out in the country somewhere and just lose it. I said, well, sure, Dad, that's what you want me to do. So I took the dog, put the dog in the back seat of the car, went out about 3 miles into the country, dropped the dog off out in the woods somewhere, turned around, came back. By the way, before I got back, I had to pick up some supper. Before I got back, I had to go to the grocery store. And when I got back, the dog was there to greet me. I thought, okay, this is not going to work. And so I walked in, and he said, you know, I thought you took the dog off. I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, I thought you took it way out. I said, well, yes, sir, I thought I did. And he said, wasn't far enough. Take it again. I said, yes, sir. So I loaded the dog up. Second time getting the dog in the back of the car was a little bit more challenging than the first time because he knew what was coming. And so I put the dog in the back of the car and drove. Man, I drove for about 35, 45 minutes or so. I mean, I drove for a good ways. I might have been an hour. I know I went a good ways out. I was determined this is it. And so dropped the dog off. And you say, well, you shouldn't have did that. We don't believe in dropping dogs off. Well, I did what Dad said. And so I took the dog out, drop the dog off. I'm way out in the country. I'm talking about way out in the country. I'm talking about way out there in the country. I mean, I couldn't even find my way back home. Finally, I got back home. We had supper that night, enjoyed a good time around the table, just enjoyed everything. And by the next morning, around noonish, the dog showed up. The dog was panting. The dog had that big smile on its face like, you can't get rid of me. So I went into Dad and I said, Dad, what do you want me to do with that? He said, well, I guess the dog has found a home. I said, really? He said, if he wants to be around me that much, I'll feed him. I'll feed him. I'll take care of him. All right, wait a minute. You know what sustained that dog? Good spirit. Good spirit. I mean, that dog did not attack me when it came home. That dog did not come at me. The dog didn't look mean at me. Just looked at me with those puppy eyes. Tongue hanging out, you know, I mean, tongue wagging down here, bad breath, whole nine yards. And that dog was just so glad to see me. It's like it wanted to run up and put its paws around me and just hug me real good, okay? You say, what happened to the dog? I don't know. But the dog found a home. Dad took care of it until about the day he died, all right? Now, can I tell you this? The dog had a good spirit. I'm going to help you. If a dog can have a good spirit, so can you. Amen. So can you. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, stand therefore, watch this, here's the truth, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So here you have a breastplate. It's covering the chest of righteousness. Let me show you something. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Everybody likes a wholesome tongue. Everybody likes somebody that's going to share something wholesome. Young people got up, they shared testimonies about the Philippines, was wholesome, okay? The Bible says right here, Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4, says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, listen to it now, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. All right, stand up, Brother Palmer, right here. All right, here's Brother Palmer, okay? Brother Palmer, if you'll button it up. I know it's hard, but try, okay? And so button it all up, okay? Now, wait a minute, watch this, okay? When he has on the breastplate of righteousness, it protects his heart, protects his spirit. Here's the problem. If ever there comes a day in this man's life where he allows somebody to breach his spirit, and he breaks that open, now his heart is open to destruction. His spirit is open to ruin. All right, thank you. Be seated. Watch this. And so God says this, that you better be careful. There's two type of wounds that's mentioned in your Bible. There's the mortal wound, if you will, that's death. And then there is that which is a surface wound. Now, you're not going to be able to sustain that which is a mortal wound. You're not going to be able to sustain it. If somebody shoots you, you die, no matter how righteous you are. But there is those that are surface wounds that you can sustain. There is those that are words. Somebody said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you heard that before? Okay, you'll not find that in your Bible because it's not true. Okay, sticks and stones, yes, they may break your bones, but can I also tell you, words do hurt. Words do hurt, okay? So you have to be careful that you do not allow anything to breach your spirit. You have to be careful about that. You know, the Bible talks about what you do with your spirit. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if I keep my spirit right, are you listening to me? If I keep my spirit right and I just keep it all the way it should be, then what happens? Nothing is able to break through, ruin my spirit, whereby now my heart is open to be able to make right decisions. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, you'll like this one. A merry heart, it says, doeth good like a medicine. It says, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. All right, so God says, hey, when you have a merry heart, it's like a medicine. I mentioned about Rebecca a few minutes ago. I love hanging around her. I'm going to tell you why. She's got a delightful spirit. I mean, I like it. I'm just being honest with you. Not trying to put her on a pedestal or anything like that, but I like hanging around her because her spirit is delightful. She's got the smile thing going on. She's got the happiness going on. She's got the joy of the Lord going on. Now, I like that. I like that. And by the way, I don't know of anybody that would not like that. Okay? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let me give you some things real quick tonight, then I'm going to give you some solutions, all right? But what is it that our spirit does? Our spirit. Not talking about the Holy Spirit tonight, talking about your spirit. What does your spirit do? I'll give you some statements. Statement number one, my spirit is my spiritual immune system. My spirit is my spiritual immune system. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. All right? One day I go to the doctor. Doctor says, you got heart trouble. All right? My spirit can sustain me with that. One day somebody goes to the doctor. Doctor says, you got cancer. Your spirit can sustain you through that devastating news. One day, all of a sudden, your child comes home and he has some very disturbing news. Your spirit, not the Holy Spirit, your spirit can sustain you. All right? So the Bible talks about how your spirit is your spiritual immune system. It says here, again, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but his wounded spirit, who can bear? By the way, the devil cannot read your mind. One of the young college kids came to me the other day and said, preacher, do you think the devil can read your mind? Absolutely not. But he can read your face. He can read your actions. He can read it when you don't show up for church. He can read it when you drop off of a bus route. He can read it when you drop out of the choir. He can read it when you're assigned to a nursery position and you don't show up or call. He can read it when you're not faithful or when you are faithful to Sunday school. He can read your body language. He can do it. Now, he can't read your mind. Well, does the devil know what I'm thinking? Absolutely not. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. But God can. All right? Now, wait a minute. So my spirit is my spiritual immune system. Statement number one. Statement number two. I serve God through my spirit. I serve God through my spirit. Hey, some people came to church tonight. Here's what you did. You came to church tonight and you said, I can't wait to be there. Others came to church and said, I can't wait to leave. Some people came to church tonight and said, man, I got here early because I'm just so excited about what God is going to do in my heart and in my life. Other people started counting down the minutes as soon as the pastor got up. You see, some people came to church looking for a blessing, and some people came to church saying, I want to be a blessing. Here's what we understand. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, for God is my witness. Now, what is God my witness about? For God is my witness, he says, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in prayer. So how do I serve God? I serve God through my spirit. My spirit. You ever get around somebody and you can tell they're not enjoying what's going on? How do you know that they don't enjoy what's going on? By their face. It was Abraham Lincoln. Man came up to Abraham Lincoln one day and said, you ought to hire this man to be a part of your cabinet. Hire the man, be a part of your cabinet. Abraham Lincoln said, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. The man said, well, why don't you trust him? He said, because any man that cannot control his face after the age of 40, I don't trust. And he never put him in his cabinet. Now somebody says, well, I don't have a reason to smile. Are you saved?
Yes.
That's all you need.
Amen.
That is all you don't understand the trouble I'm going through. Are you saved?
Yes.
You don't understand all my problems. Are you saved?
Yes.
You don't understand who I'm married to. Are you saved?
Amen.
You don't understand who my mother-in-law is. Are you saved?
Yes.
You don't understand who my neighbor is. Are you saved? You don't understand my wife can't cook. Are you saved? You better be saved. Now, I'm saying understand this, that you serve God through your spirit. When you come to church, I'm not saying that you got to be somebody that's hanging on the chandeliers and swinging from one side of the auditorium to the other. I'm not saying that. It's because you're a member here. That's why we didn't get chandeliers. But I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you've got to be somebody that shouts amen every time the preacher steps on everybody's toes but yours. But I'm saying, hey, get in the spirit of things. You get in the spirit when you go to a football game. You get in the spirit when you go to a basketball game. You get in the spirit when you're out there and you're watching somebody play soccer. Hey, can I tell you, get in the spirit of God when you come to church. Look, I'm saying that my spirit is my spiritual immune system. Statement number two, my spirit is the way that I serve God. I serve God through my spirit. Well, you know, I'm happy in Jesus. I can show you. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. No. If you're really excited, show your face. Come on. Show your body. Look, there's nothing wrong with men saying amen in a Baptist church. There's nothing wrong with you smiling as a lady in a Baptist church. You say, well, I can't say amen. Then hit your husband. He'll do it. I'm saying this. I'm saying my spirit is my spiritual immune system. Statement number two, I serve God with my spirit. Statement number three, my spirit affects my conscience. My spirit affects my conscience. Look at it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Says searching all the inward parts of the belly. All right? So here it talks about man's spirit. My spirit affects my conscience. Okay, let me show it to you. Most of you will judge other people based on your history. You will. I'm just being honest with you. You will. You will. He will draw from his history and he will see through his eyes. He'll see from his history. When he's counseling people, he is going to counsel people through his history. Through his history. He has scripture, right there, scripture doesn't change. But he is going to apply scripture based on what he has gone through in life. Okay? He's going to apply scripture based on what he has gone through in life. In life and in life. Different ones have gone through different things in life. Therefore, you get different opinions. All right? And so one person reads this verse and it explodes and they go this direction. Another person reads this verse and it explodes and they go this direction. That's not saying these directions are necessarily wrong if they don't change the contents of the verse. As long as they allow the verse to speak truth and not err, then it's okay for them to give their opinion. That's how come commentaries were written. You know, I used to, as a young man, as I studied the scriptures, I'd read a lot of commentaries. And I was always amazed. Here, Oliver B. Green and some of these other men would strongly disagree with each other over scripture, and both of them were good men. Can I remind you, please, that J. Frank Norris, that was from this area, oftentimes would have a head-on collision with John O. Rice that was from this area. And they would use their papers to try to discredit each other. They would write bad things about each other in their papers. You say, well, they shouldn't do that. Well, that's what you do with your text. That's what you do with your Facebook. So don't be so hard on them because you're doing your own magazine and your own paper with that stuff. But what I'm saying is this, My spirit affects my consciousness. The Bible says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. How does the people see the Lord through you? With your spirit. What do you get excited about? What you get excited about is a testimony either for Christ or against Christ. What you get excited about, what turns you on, what's making you excited, what is it that's causing you to gravitate to a certain place in life is those things. By the way, you're going to do what you want to do. Have you figured that out yet? I can try and encourage people all the days of my life. Go to church. Go to church. Go to church. But the people that show up are the ones that want to. Nobody controls your life but you. I can say, hey, tithe. The people that do it are the ones that want to. I can say, pray, get involved in this program. Now, what I'm saying is, why don't you take your spirit and focus your spirit the right direction where God says that your spirit now lines up with the Holy Spirit, whereby you can fulfill the will of God for your life. I said, statement number one, my spirit is my spiritual immune system. I serve God through my spirit. Statement number two, my spirit affects my conscience. Statement number three, statement number four, my spirit affects my prayer life. Watch this. John chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says God is a spirit. Capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. There's three in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Okay? All right? So God is a spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, small case, your spirit, and truth. Somebody says, well, I'm obeying the truth. But how are you obeying the truth? What is your spirit about the truth? Well, I go soul winning because my parents told me I had to. Then you're not worshiping God. Well, I come to church because I'm forced to. Then you're not worshiping God. Well, you know, I'm just doing it because it's the right thing to do and that's what everybody else expects. Then you're not worshiping God. God says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Until you get your spirit right, you cannot be right with God. You have to get your spirit right. You ever take somebody fishing and their spirit was not right? Soon as you get out there on the bank, they want to leave. They want to leave. I took some guys years ago. Well, I didn't take them. Pastor took them. I was a part of the group that went. Every year we would go, when I lived in New York City, we'd go deep sea fishing. We'd always go after the blues when they were running. And so Dr. Morgan took us out there, and you could tell, we had a large staff, we had a large church, you could tell what guys did not want to be there. You could tell it. Man, the way they baited their hook, the way they would cast, the eagerness that they would, as they were trying to pull in, that you could tell. These guys wanted to be here, these guys didn't. By the way, the guys that were excited about it always caught the most fish. You know why? Because he just kept going. These other guys were always looking for excuses, you know, got to go to the bathroom, got to go in there and get himself another pop, another Coke, got to go over here and do this. So they weren't keeping their line in the water long enough to amount to anything. You see, the Bible talks here that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The church needs to have a good spirit. Show you something, okay? They don't have it, but I'm just going to use illustration. First row here has bad spirit. Second row here has good spirit. They said, yay, you picked us, okay? Next row, bad spirit. Next row, good spirit, okay? Now, what you've got is you've got people that will respond to the messages differently, even in one section. Because those that came to church with a bad spirit, they're not going to respond properly until they get the spirit right. But those that came to church with a good spirit, they're looking for blessing. They're looking for challenges. They're looking for God to do something. They can't wait to see what God is going to teach them. Now, watch this. You want to see a church that has revival? Here's a church that has revival. All of a sudden, God starts to speak to hearts. He gets his spirit right. 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 I preach in churches sometimes that are dead. Man, I've given everything I've got. My spirit's right, and I'm preaching the truth. My spirit's in it. I've said often when I travel and preach revivals, sometimes it would take 2 to 3 days to wake up the dead. Then we could have revival. Now, can I tell you, it ought not to be that way. When you come to church, you ought to bring the right spirit. Because if you come to church with the right spirit, then you're more open to the Holy Spirit. Okay, here comes somebody to the church, takes out their pen, and as they're taking out their pen, they're writing all these things that they're writing down, their to-do list they need to do tomorrow. Their spirit's not here, therefore, Holy Spirit cannot work with them. Here's somebody, you have a phone? Here's somebody, you have a phone? Here's somebody has a phone, they bring their phone, and as they're bringing their phone, man, I need to text so-and-so. I need to tell them now, I'll forget. All right, so they say, commercial break. Pastor's still up there preaching, commercial break. You block him out, you get on your phone, you're texting. You send it, wait a minute. What you did is you just did a breach in the spirit. Therefore, God cannot help you at that time in your life. See, it's important that we keep that spirit open to God. Statement number one, okay? My spirit is my spiritual immune system. Statement number two, I serve God through my spirit. Statement number three, my spirit affects my conscience. Statement number four, my spirit affects my prayer life. Statement number five, my spirit affects my understanding of the Bible. Okay, watch this. God, I'm open to you. You show me whatever. I can't wait to get in my Bible. Can't wait to read it this morning, this afternoon, the evening time, whatever you read yours. Okay? I can't wait to get in it. This is going to be so good. Can't wait for you to show me something. I'm excited about the Bible. And so I get in the Bible. Wow, look at that. Never saw that before. Man, I tell you what, that is noteworthy. Daniel should have thought about that when he wrote that book. That is so good. Man, wow, look at that. Underscore. Wow, circle. Wow, look at that. I'm going to look that word up right there. That is neat. Wow, look at that. Ooh, wow, I can't believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that. Whoa, look at that. Oh, they didn't burn. Wow, look at that. All right, and your spirit is excited about the Bible. Your spirit. Your spirit. By the way, you are in control of your spirit. You are the one that is in the driver's seat. Watch this. You can have a critical spirit come to church. And all you do in every sermon is you look for things that you dislike. Hello? I'm going to submit to you something. Some people, years ago when I became pastor, didn't have a right spirit. Unless they corrected their spirit, they left. Other people corrected their spirit, stayed, and they're enjoying what's going on. Watch this. You ready? Here it is. We have people that's joined our church. You know why they join our church? Here's what most people say. I love the spirit of that church. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And here's what they'll say, though it's not altogether true. They say, this is where the Holy Spirit is working. Now, wait a minute. That's not always true. Again, for the Holy Spirit to work in an entire church, the entire church has to have their spirit inside of that which is the hands, the governing power, and the control of the Holy Spirit. But if your spirit is heading the... Okay, stand up. You had your Bible. Just stand there. All right, here you go. Okay, man of God gets up and he preaches. And I don't have all of the right spirit, but I have 50%. 50%. All right? And so I say, okay, I'll take that. Ooh, that was good. That's good. But I don't want that. No, not me. Oh, but that was good. Yeah. Oh, but I don't want that. No, not me. All right? And so I pick and choose what I want. God would not bless me. Stay with us. Not hard. God would not bless me 100% until I give him 100% of my spirit. See, when I give God 100% of my spirit, then God truly can speak to my heart. But as long as I'm selfish, as long as I'm self-centered, as long as I have at least partial control of that which is the steering mechanism, then God cannot work with me. Oh, he'll be able to work with me a little bit. Watch this. Okay, right? Right? So he gets up to preach. By the way, heard you did a tremendous job Sunday morning. Love you. Okay, now watch this. Okay, but he gets up to preach, and all of a sudden, man, somebody there, they say, I got it. That's so good. Somebody else would say, well, I'll tell you what I got out of it. I got that much. Somebody else says, man, I'll tell you what, I didn't get anything out of that. What was he trying to say? Now, it wasn't that the message was so complicated that nobody could follow. It just depended on man's spirit who was listening to it. You know, some people come to church, their spirit's not here, it's somewhere else. So the whole time that they're physically here, they're not really here. You say, well, what are you saying, preacher? Are you saying I should quit church unless my spirit's here? No. You keep coming to church, but get your spirit here. What you do, you don't give up on God and you don't give up on you. You're worth salvaging. And if anybody ought to care about salvaging you, it ought to be you. You ought to be your own lifeguard. When you start to drown, you ought to be the first one in the water to rescue. You. Watch this. Thank you. Here's what we see. My spirit is my spiritual immune system. I serve God through my spirit. My spirit affects my conscience. My spirit affects my prayer life. My spirit affects my Bible understanding. The Bible says, but the hour cometh, John chapter 4 and verse 23, and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Okay, so here's what the Father is seeking to worship him. He's not looking for people only that just show up. Though showing up is better than not showing up. But he's looking for people that's showing up with their spirit right. That's hungry. My Bible says that righteous people, they hunger and they thirst after righteousness. So you know why our churches are dying today? I'll tell you why. Because there's an lethargicness that's in churches today. People come not excited. People come, if you will, and they're half asleep. People's got other interests. I'm saying, thank God your body is here, but get your spirit here. Here we go, statement number next. Okay, I'm saying this. I'm saying that my spirit affects my assurance of salvation. My spirit. Here it is, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself says witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right, here's what you got to do. You got to take a survey. Now, Marcus did this. That's good. But you need to take a survey. Now, by the way, you cannot say that you're not saved because you don't have a good spirit. I believe that people that receive Jesus Christ are saved, period. And I believe most of the time we just need to work on our spirit. But I will tell you, if you're coming to church and you never get anything out of it, and you're coming to church and nothing is ever going right, and you're coming to church and everything is always down, and you're coming to church and there's never a victory in your life, you might want to check out to see if your spirit is connected to the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's not because you're backslidden, or maybe it's not because you are not saved. See, saved people do like to hang around saved people. Well, I'm saved, but I never want to go to church. Really? That's like saying, I'm hungry, but I never want to eat. By the way, I'm always hungry and I'm always eating. That's the specimen of a happy, healthy man. Check your spirit out. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I just don't get much out of it. Well, then you got to put more into it. You try harder, not less. Okay, here we go. Ready? The Bible says over in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I'll read it again. The Spirit, capital S talking about Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, watch this. Some people hear a message on hell and it bothers them. When I hear a message on hell, I rejoice. Because I know I'm not going there. Some people hear a message on the second coming of Christ and they get bothered. When I hear a message on the second coming of Christ, I rejoice. Why? I know where I'm going. Some people hear a message on heaven and there's the bewilderment, there's questions that arise. When I hear it, my spirit bears witness with his spirit that I am the children of God. Okay, statement number next. Now I'm going to give you some solutions. My spirit affects my singing. When I have the right spirit, I may not can sing. What do you mean that's right? But my spirit is there. My spirit is there. Okay, let me read it to you. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you're called, it says, in one body, and be thankful. I wonder how many of you could stand tonight and say, look, I'm thankful that I'm a member of Parkside Baptist Church, and here is why. Here's why. Here's why I am thankful. Okay, now wait a minute, watch this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, listen to it now, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, so what's going to happen? When your spirit is right, it's going to affect your singing. By the way, it won't just affect your singing in church, but out of church. You won't be just singing right songs in church and wrong songs out of church. That's called a hypocrite. You'll be singing right songs all the time. And there'll be hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Okay? All right? But my spirit, I want to sing those things. You know why I want to sing those things? Because my spirit is identifying with the Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm wanting to sing other things, it's because my spirit is not right. My spirit should be right, and it lines up with the Holy, get the word, Holy, understand the word, Holy Spirit. Okay? And so I'm going to do holy things because I line up with the Holy Spirit. Okay, here it is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking, it says, to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, preacher, it sounds like all I should do is walk around singing spiritual songs. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You mean I'm supposed to walk around singing hymn songs? What's wrong with that? Well, I'm supposed to walk around, if you will, singing psalms. That's what the Israelites did. What's wrong with that? You mean I'm supposed to listen to music all the time about God? Let me ask you a question. If you listen to more music about God, would it help you with God? See, some of the stuff we're saying tonight is sort of like, duh. Okay? All right, so my spirit affects my singing. My spirit affects my singing. So what are you excited about? What type of music do you gravitate towards? What type of music have you stored in your computer? What type of music have you stored in your heart? What are you humming when you're walking down the street? What is in your system? See, when your spirit gets right, it affects even your singing. Okay, ready? Here we go. All right, so what do I do? Here's what I do all of a sudden when I have a wrong spirit. Number one, agree. Agree. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, agree with thine adversary quickly. He says, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. All right, so what do? You agree with your adversary quickly. Now, what does that mean? That means when you and your parents disagree, you better learn to agree. That means when you and your boss disagree, you better learn to agree. And God says, do it quickly. When you and your pastor disagree, you learn to agree and do it quickly. When you and your teacher disagree, you learn to agree and do it quickly. So you agree with your adversary, no matter who that adversary is, because you're the one that has set them up as your adversary. Can I tell you tonight, your parents are not your adversary, but you set them up that way. Your pastor tonight is not your adversary. These guys up here on the platform tonight, they are not your enemy. They're not looking for ways to hunt you down and shoot you. They're not looking for that. But in your mind, because of your spirit, you have made them your adversary, and God said, here's the solution to that. Agree. Agree with, didn't say against, says with your adversary quickly. Okay, so number one, here's the solution. Agree. Statement number two, avoid. Avoid. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. The Bible says, now I beseech, that means beg, you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So if you can't agree with them, avoid them. If you can't agree with somebody else's circumstances, then you avoid them. If you can't agree with somebody else's subject matter, you can't agree with that, then avoid them. If you can't agree, then you keep your distance from them. Now, by the way, that's not the best thing to do. But if that's all you can do, that's better than doing nothing. All right? And so, in larger churches like this, by the way, some of you need to be a member of a larger church like this, because with your spirit, if you would join a smaller church like this, you'd ruin it. In a larger church like this, at least you can hide. In a larger church like this, at least you don't infect that person to the point, to the place where they become so disturbed because of your lack of spirit that you ruin them and they leave. At least you can spread your bad spirit out among everyone so that nobody gets an overload. Well, that went over good. Got one better. You ready? Forgive. Forgive. Okay, watch this. You ever get around a complainer? The complainer, all they ever do when they're around you is complain. Don't you thank God there's other people they can complain to? It's like, wow, thank God. It's called sharing the love. All right, what do you do when your spirit's not right? You agree with your adversary quickly. Most of the people that are your adversaries, you have set them up, not them. Well, I don't like so-and-so. Isn't that funny how they say they like you? Well, I don't like that person. Isn't that funny how they never talk bad about you? Well, that person bothers me. Isn't that ironic? Because every time I get around them, they're saying, boy, I thank God for them. Isn't that something? I wonder who's the more spiritual. This is called preventative preaching. So what do? Agree. Statement number two, I avoid. If I can't agree with somebody that I myself has set up as my adversary, if I can't agree with them, I got to avoid them. If every time I get around them, it causes my spirit to go south, to protect my spirit, I got to stay away from them. Because my spirit is not right, I can't handle it. So I need to just kind of stay away from them until I can get a grip. Or they're going to ruin my spirit completely. Okay? Last one, here it is. Forgive. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, and when you stand praying, forgive. It says, if you have aught against any, it says that my Father, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You ready? Verse 26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. All right, so here we go. Here we go. Brother Crutcher, you stand. You help me now. Okay? So Brother Crutcher has a wrong spirit. Has a wrong spirit. So we're walking down the hallway, and man, he's just got a wrong spirit. He's complaining about everything. I mean, just everything. Okay, now, what I can't, and by the way, then he starts to complain about me. Starts complaining about me. And so now he's telling me to my face, you know, let me tell you, you know, you need to straighten this up. You need to do this. You know, here's what I can do. I can agree with my adversary quickly. You know, you're right. I've got a lot to work on. I thank God that you pointed those things out to me. Man, I tell you what. You know, the Bible talks about how that the friend gives an open wound because he loves. But it's not secret. And I appreciate that. God bless you. I'll work on that. I'll work on that. Okay? And so he goes this way. I go my way. And then all of a sudden, we meet up again. Okay? And he's at it again, man. He's just at it again. I mean, as soon as I get around him, you're doing this wrong. Hey, thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. I'll work on that. All right? Then all of a sudden, see him in the hallway. Because there comes a time when, honestly, you're human and you just have enough. All right? And so I see him in the hallway. It's good to see you. God bless you. Glad you're in church. Good to see you. Hey, thank you for being a member here. God bless you. Man, God is good. Led two people to Christ today. How did you do?
I did.
Wonderful. Good. Okay? Now, wait a minute. Here's something better than that. Thank you. Be seated. Here we go. Forgive. Somebody says, well, somebody gets on Facebook and they're crucifying you. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's happened to me. Okay? What'd you do, preacher? I got even. Snuck into their hotel room and stole their computer. No, you know what I did? Somebody came up to me. It wasn't long after I became a pastor. Mrs. Magnan, where you at? Where you at? Raise your hand. Mrs. Magnan came up to me, and she said, preacher so-and-so, gave me the name. She said, preacher so-and-so is on Facebook. And by the way, back then, all this was new to me. I didn't know what Facebook was. I'm thinking, wow, Facebook. Well, that's neat. So-and-so is on Facebook, and they're crucifying you. And she said this, if you want me to, I'll take care of them. She could testify if I'm saying anything different. I said, no, I'd rather you not. She said, but they're saying things. I said, let them say things. It's okay. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. Then went home, grabbed my wife, and I said, I can't believe it. Now, I'm saying this. Don't let it bother you. I had a guy years ago. He wrote a magazine article about me. Magazine article. Magazine. He was at a conference that I was at. God set it up. We were both in the restroom alone. Say, what'd you do? No, I didn't. I went up, tried to shake his hand. I went up, glad you got that. I went up, tried to shake his hand. He snubbed me. I waited for him on the way out. I said, brother, it's good to see you. He snubbed me. I thought, man, wrote an article about me. I'm talking about like 3 or 4 pages. Had nothing good to say about me at all. Yeah, you'd like to get a copy of that, wouldn't you? And all right. I tried to shake his hand. Wouldn't shake my hand. I saw he was hanging around. It was a preacher's meeting. He had a bunch of preachers in the back of the auditorium. Had his little group. Every preacher's got his little group. You know, and so I went back there in the back of the auditorium. I dove in the middle of them. And I started shaking hands with every single one of them but him. So why'd you do that? Here's what I did. Went around and said, man, it's so good to see you here at the conference. Pray for me, would you? I appreciate you. It's good to see you. And by the way, I knew most of these men by name. It's good to see you, Brother Crutcher. Man, I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you, Brother Palmore. Man, how's the family? Great. God bless you. How's your ministry?
Lovely.
Great. How's those 3 bus routes you're running?
Growing.
Good, growing. Hey, great, youth director now? Proud of you. Man, I prayed for you for years. That's wonderful. I saw you in a bathroom just a few minutes ago. We didn't have a chance to shake hands. Man, it is so good to see you, brother. I sure do love you. You shouldn't have wrote the article. Honest. He came by my table later on, brought me a stack of books, Brother Kavanaugh, and he said, I think I misjudged you. I said, you should have thought about it before you put it on paper. But I love you. I've already forgiven you. Thank you for the books. Say, what'd you do with the books? Gave them away. Here's a gift for you. Here's a gift for you. You know, probably all of them had something about me in it. I'm saying, forgive. If you're a Christian long enough, somebody's going to shoot you. Somebody told me this. Brother Hamlin told me this. He said, Brother Wells, the higher you rise in fundamentalism, the more you get shot. Jealousy. He said, it's crazy. It's full of it in our fundamental churches. You watch the guys in fundamentalism that are doing the bigger works, and they're the guys that get shot the most. Say, it's not fair. Life is not fair. But you deal with humans that are very weak. All right, wait a minute, watch this. I'm done. Luke chapter 17, verse 3, I'll read you this verse, and verse 4, we'll close it down, we're done. The Bible says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. All right, so somebody does something wrong against you. All right, we'll use another guy. Come here, Craig. All right, so somebody does something, he does something wrong against me. Yeah, he does something wrong, and he comes to me. He's crying. Yeah, that's real. I choose the right one. So, all right, so he's crying, and he says, Pastor, please forgive. He says, I shouldn't have did this. I'm so sorry I hurt you. Will you forgive me? And I say, hey, you're forgiven. Love you. Thank God for you. Good. Have a great life. You're forgiven. Walk away. Okay, now wait a minute. What have I done? I've forgiven him. Now, but it's because he repented, I forgave him. All right, wait a minute, look at verse 4. The Bible says, if thy brother trespass against, thee seven times in a day. So here he comes, I forgave him, he repented, crying, I forgive you, have a good day. All right, we walk off, and he does it again, I forgive you, have a good day. And he does it again. I forgive you. Have a good day. And he does it again. I forgive you. My dad forgives you. My mom forgives you. My brothers forgive you. I don't have any sisters. I'm sorry. Have a good day. You forgive them over and over and over. And this will help you. Because whenever a church is growing, you're going to have schisms in the body. Somebody in this room is going to hurt you. And then, they're going to do it again. And then they're going to do it again. What do? You forgive. You forgive. You forgive. You say, I don't want to forgive them. Please forgive us if we're not as perfect as you are. But we have to forgive people because it's called survival. You don't forgive people, it harbors right in here. Guess who is not sleeping well at night? It's not the person you didn't forgive because they don't even know you had a problem. It's you. Man, you're turning on your bed at night, can't sleep. Oh, I can't sleep. This is bothering me so much. Okay, it's eating your lunch because you've not practiced Bible. Watch this. Here it is. It says, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. All right, now wait a minute. So what do? What do you do with somebody that doesn't have a right spirit in your mind? You agree with them. What do? You avoid them. What do? you forgive them. Amen. All right. So-and-so owes me money. And every time I see him at church, it bothers me. Okay? All right? Understand, he should have paid you. Had a brother years ago, my wife would testify, not say his name. Had one of my brothers years ago. I have three, so you can, yes. Came to me, said, Mike, I need a car. I said, I know you do. He said, without a car, I can't get a job. Without a job, I can't make it. Can you buy me a car? I said, sure, I'll buy you a car. I don't know what it was, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, something like that, $1,000. So wrote a check, went out, bought him a car. I said, when you get the money, just pay me back. Years went by, never paid a penny. Never paid a penny. So finally I went up to him and said, look, brother so-and-so, one of my brothers, I went up to him. I said, look, yeah, I love you so much. I realize you're having difficulty paying this back. Hey, let's do this. Let's just say it was a gift. Let's just say it was a gift. I love you. You say, preacher, would you buy me a car? No. Okay? But I said, let's just say it's a gift. You said, why did you do that? Because I felt in my heart that it was hurting my spirit. And every time I saw him, I started to see money he owed. And that wasn't good. I wanted to continue to love him deeply as a brother and hold the respect. So I released him of his obligation. And can I tell you, at that time, my spirit totally changed towards him. See, some of you are holding grudges towards a husband, towards a wife, towards a child. You're holding grudges towards mom. You're holding grudges towards dad, grandparent, grandchild. You're holding grudges towards somebody else that's in the church. And until you forgive, it doesn't release. You've got to forgive. Now, if you cannot forgive them, then agree with your adversary quickly. But if you can't do any of that, then do the lowest form of action found in your Bible and avoid them. Don't join another church. It's big enough. You can sit over here. They can sit over here. So, oh, now we know who they are. Or you could sit here. They could sit up here. No, I'm kidding. But avoid them. Avoid them. You don't have to walk down the same hallway. Avoid them. You say, it shouldn't be that way in church. I know. But when there's two people involved, you're just as much a part of the problem as you are the solution. See, in order for there to be a relationship, has to be two people involved. That's called relationship. You can't look in the mirror and have a relationship with you. It doesn't work, and it's not natural. So you have to work on relationships with people. You have to. I believe the reason why some churches don't grow, because there's a dearth of people skills. You expect everybody to be where you are now when it took you 30 years to get where you are now. And I love you, but you're not being fair. Say, man, I expect my marriage to be like Brother and Mrs. Weslowski's marriage, and they've been married for who knows how long. But your marriage may not get there just yet. You've not been married that long. It's called growing pains.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.